Greetings. You are listening to the Northeast Ohio AFSC Weekly Audio Podcast. I'm Greg Coleridge. It is Friday, October the 30th. And as we say every week, we hope this podcast informs you about issues you feel are important, but not necessarily hearing elsewhere, updates you about past and upcoming AFSC plans and activities, and inspires you to take action. It is, after all, grassroots social movements made up of well-informed, prepared, and motivated people that always create real change. We begin, as we do every week, with a report of our activities from the previous week. There were a couple of them in particular that we were connected with. The first was a panel discussion this past Tuesday at Oberlin College on the state issues of Issue 2 and Issue 3. It was sponsored, the event, by the League of Women Voters of the Akron area and the Oberlin College Forensics team. The panel consisted of mostly individuals who were focused on Issue 3. I seem to have been the person mostly focused on Issue 2, which is connected to 3, but only tangentially. It is, if you're not aware, a proposed constitutional amendment that would, on its surface, appear, at least as it's advertised, describe or to label proposed constitutional amendments by what's called the Ohio Ballot Board as a monopoly. And by doing so, such a citizen initiative would have to sort of get over two hurdles before becoming law. One is voters would have to vote on, in fact, whether they support the creation of a monopoly that would be against the Constitution of the state of Ohio, and then, if so, do they support whatever the specifics of that citizen initiative is. So that's the essence of Issue 2. There's some disagreement, certainly more on Issue 3. That was the real heart of the discussion and the debate that took place. Some people on either side, but there was also some discussion on and debate and disagreement around Issue 2. Individuals who did not agree with the position of AFSC and others who have come out against Issue 2. People who believe that, in fact, Issue 2 is mostly about preventing monopolies, and by concretizing it and putting it in the state constitution, it will protect us from these collections of economic interests and concentration. So more on Issue 2 later. Interesting event, good discussion. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. So that was Tuesday. Next Tuesday, I mean, which is Election Day. But this discussion was last Tuesday. On Wednesday, the 28th, there was a meeting of what is called the Move the Money Coalition, a gathering of individuals and representatives from a variety of different organizations in Northeast Ohio who are concerned about the misplaced, what I often call sane and humane, set of budget priorities at the federal level that is focused heavily on military preparedness, development of weaponry, wars and occupations at the expense of basic social and economic services here at home. So there's discussion about preparing some additional education materials, getting out and meeting with federal representatives, holding maybe a town hall meeting, or at the very least, trying to get out and speak to organizations about these issues and to get them to endorse what will next year be an updated version of what was this year and last year called the People's Budget, a much more bottom-up, grassroots a version of the federal budget that was passed by Congress that meets much more genuinely and authentically the real needs, the education and health care and housing and jobs and environmental needs of people and communities who are not weighing in with campaign contributions or using their political or economic leverage in a variety of other ways to persuade Congress to vote for their own special interests. So it's an important coalition, glad to be a part of it, and it does continue to meet on a monthly basis. So those were the two major events from last week that we were a part of. And now we turn briefly to next week. It's a rather thin week in terms of public events, but a very important one in that the main public event is, of course, next Tuesday, November 3rd, Election Day. It's a local election year, but nevertheless an important one for individuals who are running for local public office, mayors, councils, some judges, school board members, and the like. But for our purposes, and many of the groups we work with around issues of trying to promote the move to amend approach and ultimately trying to pass a federal national constitutional amendment, November 3rd, next week, Election Day, is important, very important in that we know every person who goes to the polls, wherever they are in whatever community, is in fact a registered voter, or at least they think they are, and for the most part, they probably are, with a few exceptions. So there will be, in a number of different communities, individuals who are working on different stages of a citizen initiative process out at the polls, either doing everything from gathering signatures on a move to amend like initiative for 2016, which will be taking place in Cleveland and Shaker Heights, or be handing out information about voting on a move to amend initiative Tuesday, which is what's taking place in Kent, or will be handing out information about what is to come election-wise next March in the primaries, which is taking place in Toledo. And I should say, actually, Newark as well is trying to gather signatures for a citizen initiative on 2016. So there will be different people out for different purposes, whether it's to get them to vote actually on Tuesday, which is in Kent, next March, which is in Toledo, gathering signatures, which would be in Cleveland, Shaker Heights, Newark, or something else, who knows what. But if you live in any of those communities, Cleveland, Shaker Heights, Kent, Toledo, or Newark, and want to help the cause and be at a polling place, either encouraging people to vote for Issue 43, which is what's on the ballot in Kent, or what is yet to be numbered in Toledo for next March, or to collect citizen signatures for ballot measures next November, give our office a call, 330-928-2301, and we will put you in touch with the appropriate contact person. So that is Move to Amend related presence at the polls next Tuesday, November 3rd. If you live, and you don't have to be a resident or voter actually in any of those communities to in fact help out, to petition, to hand out information. All you have to be is a registered voter in the state of Ohio to collect signatures, or you can be anybody to hand out information, voter information about either what's being voted on Tuesday or next March. So certainly not limited to people who live within the municipality of those five respective communities. Again, Cleveland, Shaker Heights, Newark, collecting signatures, Kent, handing out info about Issue 43, Toledo handing information out about their initiative next March. Well, the other event taking place is actually a week from Saturday, but it's so close to next week's podcast that just wanted to give folks notice now that if you are in or near South Euclid, there is a organizing meeting, a second round, if you will, of the South Euclid Move to Amend initiative. The group there that is working real hard to have what they hope this year will be a successful citizen initiative drive. They came up ever so short last year in significant and sufficient signatures to gain ballot access. They are starting much earlier this year, and I think that will make all the difference. So if you are willing to help out, either you live in South Euclid or near and want to assist that cause, the meeting next Saturday, November the 7th, will be at 10:30 a.m. at the Coffee Fix Cafe. Fix is spelled P-H-I-X, and that's located at 4485 Mayfield Road in South Euclid. And those are the events coming up for next week. Well, we move now to commenting briefly on several issues that have come up within the past week that AFSC here and elsewhere addresses that we think you might be interested in knowing about, if not acting on. The first is has to do with this ongoing concern about the Trans-Pacific Partnership that hopefully everyone is aware of, at least what it is, although we don't know specifically what it is because its content has yet to be revealed. It is, of course, a so-called, horribly misnamed, free trade deal involving a dozen or so countries that would open up borders to the free flow of goods and services, and presumably, at least as its advocates say, create much greater choices of products at much less cost and would be overall much more efficient. So from an economic standpoint and a price standpoint, these are wonderful things. But as we have in these podcasts over many months, have tried to delineate is a misnamed deal. It's not about trade at all, be it free or fair, but about governance. Who rules? Who decides? It seeks to shift power and authority away from nation states and toward the lapse, if you will, of transnational corporations and the extremely well-to-do. Well, the formal introduction of the TPP, even though it has now been signed by the respective dozen or so countries, trade ministers anyway, it now has to be approved by the United States and the other countries, and every country has their own internal approval process. In the case of the United States, it has to be approved by Congress. But because of what was previously passed, oh, a couple of months ago, called Fast Track Trade Authority, the approval process is going to be much more streamlined and will, in fact, hamstring Congress in their ability to find out basically what this is, what its implications are, and in gaining input from experts and in just having a public discussion and hearing from the public about what we think about it, which is why it's so important we weigh in now and we take part in coalitions of organizations that are doing their part to communicate their displeasure, our displeasure, at the horrific components and implications of this deal. Just wanted to share that there will be a coalition of organizations that during the week of November 18th, as has been recently announced, there will be a week's worth of activities in Washington, D.C., by a number of organizations. The one that is helping to coordinate it is called Flush the TPP. Their website is flushthetpp, all one word, .org, flushthetpp.org. And if you go to their website, you will see a schedule of all of the activities taking place during that week of Monday, beginning Monday, November the 18th. The major action, there is to be marches and rallies and civil disobedience. Many of the larger actions will be taking place that Monday. So if only able to take in one day, that would be it. However, as part of the week's worth of activities, not quite sure what day, maybe in fact on the 18th, there will be the delivering of thousands of petitions to Congress, calling on them to reject the TPP. What the petitions say is basically this. quote to the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and Democratic Party leader Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and Democratic Party leader Harry Reid. Very short. Petition simply says, we are writing to urge the Congress to reject the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This agreement will destroy jobs, degrade the environment, undermine the Internet, and weaken U.S. democracy and sovereignty. Period. Why is this important? Well, if you go and read through the Flush the TPP website and others, the Citizens Trade Campaign and others, you know, you'll basically get a sense of that what it is if you look at the research and the history of trade agreements since NAFTA, it shows that these sorts of deals produce trade deficits, a decline of jobs, lower wages, and just terrible economic damage. In the case of the TPP, it is incredibly broad. It usurps the legislative authority of Congress by writing rules that deal much more than simply around trading of goods and services. But it writes the basic fundamental rules regarding safety and labeling, for example, of food, access to health care and medicine, regulation of banks, rights of workers, future energy sources, and much, much more. Essentially, its scope is just about everything. These are issues, however, that should not be dealt with sort of within international trade tribunals made up of exclusively representatives of corporations, but rather by Congress, not written in secret by trade negotiators, but debated openly with hearings that the public can watch, attend, weigh in on, respond to, and where, based on that response, Congress then can make recommendations on whether or not they feel the trade deals should be kept as is, or whether they find them as written unacceptable and recommend certain changes or amendments. But it doesn't allow that. It undermines the legislative authority. It usurps Congress. It weakens federal courts by creating these so-called, what are they called, ISDS, Investor State Dispute Resolution Settlement Agreements or Procedures, ISDS, Investor State Dispute Settlement Processes, that overrules, that undercuts, depending on your metaphor, the power of Congress to decide what our rules regarding worker safety and environmental laws should be. So it's extremely important that we weigh in, and if you're interested in weighing in and adding your name to this petition, which will be delivered to Congress the week of the 18th, if you're not able to be there yourself, you can go online to Roots Action. That's ROOTSACTION, rootsaction.org. And right on the front page, there should be a link to take action on the TPP. Just click on that, and it'll go directly to the petition where you can sign. If the link is not on the page, there is a search box. Just type in TPP, and it will take you to that page and that specific petition. So please do consider signing that petition, weighing in, and of course, without question, this is no substitute necessarily at all for, if you have not yet contacted your congressperson, your senators, senators being Portman and Brown, your congressperson, that is anyone, whoever that is, can be from Kaptur to, at least in Northeast Ohio, Ryan or Fudge or Joyce, who knows whom else, there are others out there, contact him or her and let them know where you stand. And again, background information, quite a bit of it at flushthetpp.org or citizenstradecampaign.org. Well, a second issue worth sharing has to do with the topic of economic inequality. In a new book by Les Leopold entitled Runaway Inequality, An Activist's Guide to Economic Justice, Leopold documents how dramatically Americans underestimate the true degree of inequality in this country. Americans across the political spectrum of all education levels believe that the heads of the largest U.S. companies, in particular, specifically the CEOs, should make somewhere between 5 and 12 times the amount of the average worker of that company. Americans from the right and left with advanced degrees and little education, whoever it may be across the spectrum, assume that CEAs of large corporations actually make somewhere between 36 and 60 times the amount of the average worker. All right, so the distinction is they would prefer that CEOs make between 5 and 12 times, but they assume, they guess, that it's between 36 and 60 times. In reality, as Les Leopold shows in his new book, that CEOs actually make 829 times the amount of the average worker. In other words, the American wealth gap is more than 69 times higher than what Americans think it should be, and more than 13 times more higher what Americans assume it actually is. So, the takeaway from all this is that the problem is worse than we think it is, which is all the more reason we need to speak out against inequality when we talk to our fellow citizens, when we choose to communicate with our friends and family via social media, when we choose maybe to write a letter to the editor, call a talk show, communicate with our legislators. It's important that we say, wait a second, this problem is much greater than even I thought it was by a dramatic amount of times worse. And we need, via tax policies, spending policies, monetary policies, trade policies, other policies, to rectify the problem. Whether it's let's tax the well-to-do, who are sitting on investments that aren't doing anything or are speculating, they're not doing anything with them. Let's tax that. Let's create spending programs that try to employ people who right now are not working. Let's have monetary policies in which we have quantitative easing for the people, creating U.S. money instead of continuing to have banks giving the license to banks to create money out of thin air that they choose to decide where it goes to, not we the people deciding where our money is going to go to. That's not democratic. Trade policies that focus on reducing wealth and inequality, and other policies like raising the minimum wage and maybe creating, just as there is talk about having a minimum floor of income, well, maybe there is consideration, it should be consideration about a maximum. And that's what tax policies would do. You can certainly raise as much money as you want, but if it's taxed at 90-95% above a certain amount, well, then that puts pretty much a ceiling on that. So some proposals, policies to consider dealing with inequality. But the first thing to understand, as Les Leopold's new book does, is that the problem is much more significant than what we think it is. Well, turning now to our third issue, and that has to do with some good news related to a lawsuit, class action lawsuit that was filed a couple of years ago by Occupy New York, or Wall Street, who had protested to the powers to be, and had sued the city of New York and others for having the local police make false arrests, maliciously prosecute, and infringe on their free speech rights by basically evicting Occupy Wall Street protesters from Zuccotti Park down in the Wall Street area of Lower Manhattan. So a suit had been filed quite some time ago, and just recently a judge ruled that the lawsuit can now proceed. So after 4 years, basically, of, you know, who knows what, and that is a device used by the power elite in general, is they try to wait you out and just bleed you by holding up and filing suit and challenging this and trying to prevent that, all in the courts to try to get you to throw up your hands and give up. And that clearly is not what happened in the case of the Occupy Wall Street protesters. So good news, and why it, of course, is so important that this case proceed and hopefully justice be handed out against those responsible for evicting Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street protesters in violation of their free speech rights, and via making false arrests and malicious prosecution and the like, is because Occupy Wall Street was not the first and certainly will not be the last mass social movement that is challenging business as usual. Not just economic business, but government business as usual, which within their last couple of years has basically coalesced and come together with government at many levels, particularly at the federal level, being captured by the largest corporate interests. And yes, while Occupy Wall Street was a spontaneous rise of young people, there will be future forms of spontaneity, of people who will be reacting to abuses and injustices, but also who will be proacting, who will be saying, enough, it is time to consciously and deliberately come together and say, we need to change not just public officials, not just laws and regulations, but fundamental ground rules. And we know that the kinds of devices, the illegalities that were perpetrated by the police and others connected to those opposing the Occupy Wall Street protesters in New York City were those that were used elsewhere, including Occupy Cleveland, where there was surveillance, where there was infiltration, where there was a provocateur, an infiltrator who goaded, in fact, he was on the payroll of the FBI, goading young people into wanting to try to blow up a bridge near Cleveland. So we need to understand that such actions should be, many of them are already illegal, others, like this goading and trying to be a provocateur, should be illegal. That these violate basic Bill of Rights protections of we the people. We have a right, and absolutely important that those rights be protected and, in fact, strengthened. We need to demand accountability prior to the next mass social movement. Certainly, there's a lack of accountability going on in the Black Lives Matters movement among police and those in authority. But whether it's the Black Lives Matter current social movement or an upcoming mass gathering of people like what will be taking place in Cleveland next July in connection with the Republican National Convention, or a much larger movement that is still to come, that we don't know what necessarily will be the trigger that will hopefully connect a broad base of issues and a broad base of constituents that will even surpass what occurred in Occupy Wall Street. That for that to happen, we need to challenge illegalities and defiances of rights contained in the Bill of Rights now, to serve notice that we the people are in fact at the apex of political decision making, and that those in government, those in the courts, those in the police should be and must be subordinate and subservient to us. And that can only happen if we come together and we challenge and we demand accountability and responsibility. Finally, we make one last commentary on Ohio Issue 2. This is the advertised anti-monopoly amendment to the Ohio Constitution that will be voted on next Tuesday, November the 3rd. As previously mentioned earlier, I was on a panel that took part in Oberlin discussing the merits and demerits of both Issue 2 and 3. And just, you know, as a preliminary, there are, I think, some very well-intentioned and, you know, very solid people who are on either side of this question, who